Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 9th of July, 2019. So we already crossed the half year mark. We are starting to go into the second year of 2019. So looks like it's, time is pretty fast. Then this year's Kayamita gathering is our 15 years. So this year is quite a unique year. It marks the 15 year that I have come out to share the Dhamma with Kayamita. So we already set the date, 6th of October 2019. I think Sui An will be sending out the notice soon. Once we finalize where we are going to hold it, we already have a temporary venue, but we are trying to look for somewhere better and cheaper so that it's more affordable by Kayamita. Okay, now we will prepare for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Fo. Namo Kwansuyin Pusa. Namo Kwansuyin Pusa. Namo Kwansuyin Pusa. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Dhatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya macapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Now you chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamatang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang danda sambarayotena dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganna gunupetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One. Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya. leading to ultimate liberation, the born free Nibbana. Number 6, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us pay respect to Triple Japa. Buddhang Pucceyami. Dhammang Pucceyami. Sanghang Pucceyami. Okay. You can be seated. Then relax body and mind. We are off the light. Then you can have about 25 minutes. Silent awareness meditation. I will set the alarm now. You can start your meditation straight away. Always remember, relax, and just silence everything and maintain awareness. Let the mind settle down on its own. If there is still thinking or whatever mundane arising, or sankhara, just let it arise. Do not resist. Silence everything. It will slow down by itself. If you already train, your spiritual faculty already developed stable and your daily mindfulness stable, you can meditate very easily. The moment you sit down, you are already in the meditative state. For some, if your daily mindfulness still not that stable, maybe you silent and let it be for a while. Within 1 or 2 minutes, it should slow down and settle down. Then maximum within 5 minutes you are in the meditative state. And this is not difficult, quite easy. Then when you are in that state of silence, just let things be, means don't do anything. Whatever that arises within your form and mind, just aware. No need to do anything. Maintain the awareness inside there. Then it will meditate on its own, it will understand. Then if you want to stabilize the awareness, you can go to your meditation object if you still need it. Means anapanasati. You can go there. Most of the advanced meditator, or those who already have the ability to have sati in the midst of their daily life, means their daily mindfulness already established. The mind is more or less in sati. So when that happens, your object of meditation normally is all very quiet, very still, very subtle. Then you stay there, you can detect it. Because your mindfulness has become more refined. Your mind has entered sati, that's why it can stay at the breath, despite the subtle breathing or like no breathing. Or alternatively, you can, the Anapanasati also will finally bring you down to the heart area. You will finally drop to your heart area. Then you can stay there at your heart area, silent everything and just relax. Don't do anything. Then let the awareness detect whatever vibration within the heart area. Just aware, stay with it. Especially your heartbeat, it will become very pronounced, very clear to you. Then when you detect it, stay with it. Initially, I remember if it's the first time you detect it, that pounding sound of the heartbeat, like very loud, pupa, pupa. But of course, there's no sound, but you can hear them. The heartbeat, like very loud. So, like the thinking, if you just silent your mind and maintain awareness there, then you realize the heartbeat will also slow down by itself. The beating is like more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more quiet, until finally like very, very quiet. Then it's just the awareness that is aware of the heartbeat. Then it will anchor the mind there. Then from there, you become aware of the senses, your five physical senses together with the brain, the sixth sense. When your mindfulness or awareness is stabilized, when you have the ability to be aware within, then you can understand many things that goes on within your own form of mind, how you function as a human being, how consciousness come to be, how the dwelling dependent origination that the Buddha talked about, how your mind starts the mental activity. Normally it starts with contact. You will come to know upon contact what happened. It's very different from what you study in the theory. When you check actual happening upon contact, there is this consciousness that arises first. You will be able to aware of that. Then how you input the content of consciousness, how you can be aware of the aggregates of mind. All this, you will detect them, you will see them. And this is the real sati or mindfulness, awareness that you can develop. And it will be very clear to you. Then you can understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. How the consciousness and the form, the two interact. Without the consciousness, you cannot be conscious. Without the sense basis also, you cannot be conscious. You need the sense basis to arise the contact. Contact between mind, organ, and the sense data. Then upon contact, many things happen. It actually, like the physics experiment, you become conscious of that sense door, consciousness. Then when it becomes conscious, the mind, through its brain, memory, conditioning, views and opinion, they will input the content. But later on, as you meditate and develop the understanding and the wisdom come in. It's not acting according to memory anymore. You act according to understanding. Your understanding, which is initially yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. This wise attention, you have to develop them through your daily activity, through your daily listening to the Dhamma, then straightening your view, Then reflect, contemplate, inquire deep into it, stabilize your understanding, then straighten your views again. As you straighten your view, you develop more and more right view or right understanding, and this is wisdom. So this initial wisdom may not be penetrative, but it's very useful. Then it will prepare the base for you to receive truth. Yeah. So this yoniso manasikara, when it's there, then you act according to that understanding. Then in the midst of life, your daily mindfulness, it will come and prompt you. Then you will not stir your mind, react, or act according to memory like before. That's how your mind becomes different. So meditation is to develop wisdom, understanding. Then when understanding is connected to your form and mind, you act according to understanding or wisdom. You no longer act according to memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. You have clarity, you have understanding, and from there you manifest, you act. Okay, today this instruction is enough. This is for those who already know how to meditate to develop the understanding. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. And when the 25 minutes is up, the alarm will sound. Then I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. you can turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the king or sages which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Padanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Itti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditatbu Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyaya Patipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yugani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pujya. Buddhang pujayami Dhammang pujayami Sanghang pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stopped. We are still at chapter 33 here. The topic on Nibbana. Now we are on page 96. 496. page 496. I think there are two or three more pages, then we will finish chapter 33. Second paragraph. The Nibbana of Buddhists is therefore neither a state of nothingness nor a mere cessation. What it is not, one can definitely say. What precisely it is, one cannot adequately express in conventional terms, as it is unique. It is for self-realization. That's why they also quote the salutation to the Dhamma, Pacetang Veditabo. We know Hiti. The meaning is, this wisdom or realization of enlightenment, which is Nibbana, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So this is very true, because Nibbana is actually the unconditioned. Your form and mind ceases to be, even the pure awareness, everything ceases to be. That's why it cannot be described, it cannot be spoken of. You cannot really try in any way to describe it. But for communication purpose, we need to use word. That's why we try to express it in words. But unless you realize it, the form of mind goes through it, you can never understand. Then we read on. There is this Pali word, sopa disesa and anupa disesa nibbana dhatu. So reference are frequently made in the books to nibbana as sopa disesa and anupa disosa nibbana dhatu. So you written notes down there. Sa with upadi aggregates mind and body. Sesa means remaining. The aggregates are called upadi because they are firmly grasped by craving and ignorance. So that is note one. Okay, I will read on. These, in fact, are not two kinds of Nibbana, but the one single Nibbana receiving its name according to experience of it before and after death. Nibbana is attained in this present life itself if the seeker fits himself for it. Buddhism nowhere states that its ultimate goal can be reached only in a life beyond. Means you don't have to wait till you die to realize. Here lies the difference between the Buddhist concept of Nibbana and the non-Buddhist conception of an eternal heaven which is attainable only after death. When Nibbana is realized in the body, it is called sopa disesa Nibbana dhatu. When an arahant attains parinibbana after the dissolution of the body without any remainder of any physical existence, it is called anupadisesa nibbana dhatu. So the difference between these two types of nibbana is, one is the realization of nibbana, the same experience that the one that goes through parinibbana. But the only difference is, the first one, the form and mind, they still has not reached a stage where they go through parinibbana and cease. Means the aggregates of form and mind, the non-grasping pure aggregate, their karmic life force are still there. That form and mind can still come back and take on the form and mind, animate into a living being again, or in our case, is a human being again, which means this type of Arahant or even Bodhisattva or the Buddha, they can go through this Nibbana experience, cessation of form and mind. Then they will not cease completely. Like those who realize Parinibbana, after that, no more, disappear, finish. For those who can still have the life force to come back, the form and mind with the life force will come back and animate back the human being. So when it happens, before the form and mind goes into that cessation, that cultivator who is an Arahant or maybe an Anagami at least, because for the Sotapanna ship and Sotapan and Sakadagami, most of the time it's only a glimpse of Nibbana, very fast, it flashed too. Then they transform and become enlightened. So they call change of lineage from a Puttajana into an Arya, they cross over because of the enlightenment. But those enlightenment are just a glimpse of what the Nibbanic state is all about. But it's good enough. Then that glimpse is very, very profound. It gives rise to a lot of wisdom, understanding. But for Arahant and sometimes Anagami, the cessation or Nibbanic experience can be longer, much longer. Then for how long, it depends. Because it's not for you to decide when you want to come out. But you will know how to come out by itself. Then when it comes out, you will know how creation starts. How from nothing that consciousness come back. That life force come back. Then from there, the whole activity start again. And how the consciousness split into three major areas of consciousness. One will go to your brain. Of course, the main one is at the heart. Then one portion go to the brain, start the activity again. And the other one move down to your Tan Tien to develop the movement again. So these three areas of consciousness, the moment they are activated, you become alive again. Your form and mind starts to become alive again. And then you will understand very clearly how all these things started. And you will understand very clearly who are you, what are you. Before this consciousness come back, the form is just the form. But it is not dead. The funny thing is, when it goes through this cessation, there is a type of pure energy, very, very special energy. Engulf the whole of the form. And everything becomes still. It was mentioned, I don't know whether true or not, but I think it's not in the sutta, I think. They claim that if it's in that state, the body cannot be destroyed. In Thailand, sometimes they used to. I heard it from my teacher Ajahn Yantra's disciple. They seem to have some understanding or experience that when the form and mind goes through that Nibbana experience, that pure energy around it, keep it, preserve it from being destroyed. So it seems they try to don't know what they do, I forgot already. They did mention, they fire the machine gun. Didn't die. But you dare to fire, huh? What happened if he's not the Arahant? But no point trying. I was told they tried to fire his rope. After he come out, they change the rope. Then they fire at the rope. It doesn't go through. I don't know. It seems they say. I also could. They say. But not important. Most important is, there's a type of pure energy that will make sure the body will not die. But do you know, when that thing happened, no heartbeat, nothing. The whole thing is like a dead body. No heartbeat, no vibration, nothing. Heart stop, everything stop. Brain also completely stop. No activity at all. No sankaran, nothing. But you don't die. You don't get cold. Understand? Normally, a dead man, immediately the consciousness leaves, the heartbeat stops, the element go the way of nature. You can feel or not. Very fast, it becomes very chill, very cold. That's why you go to the mortuary, you touch, all very cold. Because the heat element gone. Then later on, first is the wind element, the heartbeat, the vibration all gone. So no more vibration. Then the heat element also gone. Then after that is the water and the earth element. They will start to crumble. That's why it goes the way of nature. So Nibbana, when it's realized, is not what you think. Not what the mundane mind can figure out. It's completely different. Here, what they are trying to tell you, there are two types of Nibbana, but actually the book is right. It's the same experience. It's not really an experience. You go through the same Nibbanic cessation. It's not an experience at all. But the form of mind that goes through it will know. Because the awareness is there. And you will see how all these things stop and how it return. Then suddenly everything ceases. Then during that time there is no mind to talk about it or whatever, nothing. But when that consciousness come back, because it's fully aware, it will know. Then how it animate back the brain, how it activate back the heart area, and how it activate your tantra and animate the human being back to what it is, you will understand. Then I remember that time when I was in Cameron Highland. After that thing, I came down. When I was at the bus, I remember I was sitting in front of the driver, just one row in front of the driver. Then there was nobody there. I saw the windscreen outside. Then as the bus was traveling down, this whole brain and mind was so quiet, so still, fully aware. Then as the bus moved, you start to see the sense data coming in. The sense data is not like the normal putujana or normal deluded human being. It's like slow motion only coming. Then as it approach, my nature will know. All the activity going to start already. Then it starts to see how it start, how it actually activated my brain, then the movement. That's why all that dwelling, everything you can see very clearly. You can know. This is how living being gets into trouble. They become heedless and all those things very fast. But as you go through that, and the beginning is very interesting. That face, I remember I saw it. Like slow motion all coming in. Then through the senses, it connect. But I didn't say a word to. I was silent throughout. Even after I come down, I seldom talk. I just smile. Because it was so still. And the experience is very different. So that time, how to share with people, how to explain all this to people, nobody will understand. That's why this so-called enlightenment or nirvana is not an experience, it's not a mind state. It's not something that you can discuss or talk about. Yeah, it's the unconditioned. It has nothing inside there. But it's also not nothingness. It just have the experience. An experience without the mind. How do you describe it? You cannot describe it in a... Your mind, form a mind, completely cease. Even your pure awareness, everything cease. But the funny thing is, it don't know how to come out again. Because you're this physical body, not time to die yet. The life force is still there. That aggregates of form and mind can still come back. That's why they call it nirvana with residue. They call this the residue. Means with the five aggregate of form and mind. But the one towards the end, when they realize parinibbana and finish, and that one is without residue. The form and mind does not come back anymore because it's time to go. Then it will cease. Then that segmented life end, finish. Then as an arahant and beyond, technically, you don't take rebirth through ignorance. There is no more rebirth. We are ignorant. But those who take the Bodhisattva way, and even the Sammasambuddha, they can still come back. Because their karmic nature is still there, their spiritual nature is still there. But when they come back again, it's not as a Sammasambuddha again. Do you understand? Because that condition no more. Understand or not? So it will come back as a form of mind, but they will have the type of wisdom and understanding like the great Bodhisattva, Maha Bodhisattva. They are actually perfected. They can become Buddha any time, like Kuan Yin and all those things, but they choose to stay on. They choose to stay on. So a lot of these great beings, unless you have affinity with them, you may not understand all these things. All these things can only be understood when you reach that level of cultivation. But because there is condition, that's why I try my best to share whatever this nature understand with you all, so that in future you can also develop the understanding. Okay, we continue. Page 497. In the Ittivuttaka, the Buddha said, "There are, O Bhikkhu, two elements of Nibbana." What two? The element of Nibbana with the basis is Upadhi, still remaining. The Upadhi means the five aggregates. And that without the five aggregate or basis. Here in a bhikkhu is an arahant, one who has destroyed the defilement, who has lived the life, done what has to be done or was to be done, lay aside the burden, who has attained his goal, who has destroyed the fetters of existence, who rightly understands, or who has the understanding, is delivered. His five sense organs still remain, and as he is not devoid of them, he undergoes the pleasant and the unpleasant experiences. That destruction of his attachment, hatred and delusion, means greed, hatred and delusion, is called the element of Nibbana. with the base is still remaining. Mm-hmm. So that arahant that has overcome the 10 fetters has no more avijja, no more ignorance. That's why the attachment or the delusion that condition them to attach to worldly thing, giving rise to the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, is no more. Mm. But because they are still life force, coming force, they are not supposed to die yet. So whatever nibbana experience they go through, or nibbana that they have undergone, the form and mind will come back. Yeah. So this type are called nibbana with residue, or elements of nibbana with basis still remaining. What obhikkhu is the element of nibbana without basis? This one is parinibbana. Here in obhikkhu, a bhikkhu is an arahant, is delivered. In this very life, all his sensation will have no delight for him. They will be cool. This is called the element of nibbana without basis. Means no coming back. No more form and mind. Everything is cool. The senses are no longer affecting. Then we read on. These two nibbana or nibbanic state are shown by him who see, who is such an unattached. One state is that in this same life possessed with basis remaining, though becoming a stream, be cut off. While the state without a base belongs to the future, wherein all becoming utterly does not do, utterly do come to cease. They who, by knowing this state uncompounded, have hearts released by cutting off the stream, they who have reached the core of Dhamma, glad to end, such have abandoned all becoming. So this is how the text explains it. But these are all words. Unless you yourself go through that realization, you will not be in a position to understand them. Okay, at least we covered chapter 33. Do you have anything to add or any question? You should try to ask whatever you want to know about enlightenment. Where is the mic? I didn't bring it out. It's still inside there. Inside the bag. No.
The white bag.
The white bag. I only took out the wire just now. You have to tighten the base. Because I loosen it so that the battery will not run dry.
This is something I.
Yes.
I just ask.
No problem. You better ask, because make use of the condition or opportunity to ask. If you don't ask, when there is no more condition, you want to ask also, you cannot ask.
This also happens. I watch a. A drama lah, this drama, the ghosts, they all like very scared of
that one I understand. Cantonese. You just understand.
Then I was thinking, as last time I was young, a one fei pak, so that very scary thing.
Yeah.
But now. I think I was comparing to Nirvana, when Nirvana also like nothing, right? So I don't know Nirvana, nothing. So it's like a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But why am I so scared of Nirvana? So that
Okay. Do you have any question?
Yeah. The question is. I mean, is it this one? Is this a belief?
I understand. So I will maybe help you to ask. I think I know what you want to ask. You say it's very difficult to translate the Cantonese that she mentioned because we all Chinese. We got there our own dialect. Cantonese is one of our dialect. And Cantonese got a good way of describing this because we see a lot of what they call Cantonese movie, especially the swordsmanship. Then sometimes they are so cruel. Even the spirit also, they not only want to kill, they know they cannot kill the spirit. So what they do is they will finish off that spirit, means smash it. Pak San is smash it. Wan Fei is what? The spirit. The spirit. The spirit and the soul. Smash. So that they cannot even take birth. So that was the description. Then Tammy also was having this idea. He said, Nibbana also sees everything gone. So Wan Fei Pat San is actually a good thing. You can like realize Nibbana, where you don't take birth anymore. Yung Pat Chiu San means you cannot take birth again. So that is a faster way to actually end your birth and death. But like he said, these are Chinese myths, or we call it the Chinese tradition. We got such a saying, but it's impossible to smash or to completely destroy the soul, or not really the soul, the consciousness, because that itself is energy, understand? So the energy can neither be destroyed or created. It will go through transformation because it's dependent originating. So this consciousness, the first rebirth consciousness when it comes about means during a death of one form and mind, like we went through last time. At the moment of death, the death consciousness, immediately the rebirth consciousness is already there, gone already, conditioned over already. And most of the time, the last thought moment, the disease or the previous form in mind, they are not in the state of awareness. Most of the time is karmic consciousness already taken over. They are not, they are conscious. Aware nature. That's why they got no control over rebirth. So that conditioning, karmic conditioning, all moving inside there. So the karmic consciousness take over and trickle off the rebirth consciousness. The rebirth consciousness is immediately after the death consciousness. They call it chuti chitta. Means Malay word chuti is go and leave. That's why nowadays people say Yi Ming, you migrate somewhere, you go on leave, Yiman. So rebirth consciousness is just a single thought moment, one rebirth consciousness. Then it depends on what type of birth you take. If it's human birth, of course you will be in the womb for depending on whether it's premature birth or full maturity birth, it can be between 6 to 10 months. Some premature one, I heard of many 7 months they are delivered, but they still survive. I got one university mate who survived. I was told by her, she also born premature, but survived. Then most of them are born after 10 months. The biological book will tell you 9. but actually it's about 10 months. So what happens is, when you are in the womb for that period, that consciousness is actually very pure. But like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of karma. So this consciousness trapped inside the senses, the brain, the organ, they start to develop in the fetus. Then it become a baby, newborn baby. Then it take birth. And when it take birth, that is the beginning of earthly life. Means interact with the cow, the environment. That's like the first grasp for air. Then they will cry. They will cry. Crying is good actually. Activate all the senses and make them naturally breathe. So during that time, most of the time they are in the womb, that time they are in water. That's why before birth, what happened? The water bag bursts. You just can remember, no? So last time, I don't know, no? Water bag burst. I thought immediately want to deliver already, you know. But my mother, I saw my mother did it so many times. My mother would say, okay, time to go hospital. So he will call a taxi, he everything prepared. She alone, no? No need people help. Oh. He will take all those things that she really get ready. She will get a taxi. Trishaw, last night Trishaw. Then the Trishaw will Trishaw her to the hospital. The hospital is about 3 kilometers away. 3 or 4 kilometers away. But you do you know the Trishaw take how long? The Trishaw take half an hour plus to reach there. But she very confident. She know after the water bag burst, still many hours before delivery. Last time I also don't know. My first child, first daughter, I also panic and drive my wife to the hospital. I thought water bag burst already, baby coming, I don't know how. So when we were at the hospital, the doctor and the nurse, they said, don't worry, don't worry. He said, still not time yet. Then later on, they seems to know the time. Then they will get my wife in. Then when her turn come, we have the delivery room. I think they don't have that many. So that particular section they only have, I don't know how many, I didn't check. But I know it's at least one. So they go in for the delivery. So if the doctor is not there, the matron or the midwife will do it for you. Understand? Not necessary always the gynecologist or your doctor will deliver for you. It depends. When your timing is correct, they are around and they will go in. Otherwise, they won't.
Is that a general hospital?
Yeah, general hospital. Your private one different. At night also they come. That's why you pay. Yeah, you pay for it. So I was told private one, not cheap. Even that time, how much you pay?
Mine was cheap.
Huh, cheap?
Less than 1,000.
So cheap. My classmate, he didn't know, no, but the wife say private, go private. At that time, 1980, early 80, he paid 6,000 for that guy need to deliver. Natural, no complication, nothing. Because you book the gynae, and they follow out everything. Follow up, private one. Oh, he said cost him 6,000. That's why I say yours is really cheap. it's actually not cheap. Then I got one classmate. He heard I say UH very cheap, general hospital very cheap, but he didn't know my wife is a government servant. That's why very cheap. Government servant, I also government servant that time. So first class what? ringgit a day. Everything included, food, lodging, plus all the delivery every day. So stay there today, 18 ringgit. Noi ka leo, nojit e ato. Two or three days at the most, I think. So very cheap. So he thought, very cheap. So he managed to convince the wife, go UH. And you know what happened or not? The bill came out 10,000. They asked him your occupation, he put engineer. Finish, huh? A professional. Your UH is semi-garment, not full garment. Understand? So he charged you like a private one. The engineer can afford. But he didn't know he's a fresh engineer. His salary is only less than 2,000 a month. Yeah, he charged her 10,000. The bill came. He came and see me, you know. I say, you're not government servant. He said, of course not lah. I said, when you register as what? Oh, you say, I put engineer. That's why when you want to show off, you better be wise. I got another classmate, second year, went and see a private doctor. He thought, occupation put engineer. No. Kena the bill 60 ringgit, no, no money to pay. That time student, where got money? Student, no money. Then he told the doctor, so expensive. Then the doctor looked at him, aren't you an engineer? Oh, no, 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 I'm still a university student. And then he reduced the bill to 50 ringgit. That's why don't be too eager to sign off as an engineer. Last time, a lot of these people are too eager to become a professional. Doctors, engineer, lawyer, accountant, or so. Lie low. Then if you don't want to pay too much, you say self-employed or better still unemployed, but that means you lie. So you can just say government servant. But if you are not a government servant, means you say freelance. Anyway, that is beside the point, try not to lie. But what he should have done is, he should have put there, new graduate. Understand? New graduate. You didn't lie. New graduate, I just graduated. Then if they ask you, do you have an employment? I just got it on it. If you are still unemployed, then say unemployed. Easier. So because of that, when you are born, your consciousness is very pure, because you don't have a brain that is with all the rubbish inside there. Understand? The words also you don't know, knowledge also you don't have. That's why as a newborn baby, you are very cute, very naive, and you have this pure mind inside there. Where that consciousness without the rubbish is really like a pure mind. You can see things as they are. As they are means what? There is no word, no concept, no color, no conditioning, nothing. Everything is so pristine. That's why the baby, look at everything also very cute. That's what the baby is about. So that consciousness slowly, slowly become conditioned. Conditioned by what? By the world. By the person who care for you, your parents, your nanny, or your brother, sister. Then later on, by society. Then you go to kindergarten, go to school. Then you join the activity of your neighborhood. Then you are conditioned by the media. Nowadays, social media. Last time we all newspaper, storybook. Magazine. Now they got no time for all this. They one tablet or one handphone. But the kid normally you buy tablet for them, is that? The tablet, the big fellow for them to play. So nowadays the kid, once you give them that one, they won't disturb you. they can spend whole day doing that. But the problem is when they go to school, the parent want to control them, they will withdraw their tablet. Then you see how the baby jump and react. So a lot of things nowadays and our time different. Our time, where got tablet? Nothing. Black and white TV also seldom see. You got any special programmer like last time is Thomas Cup and all those things, football or World Cup. Do you know our whole kampong, there's only one shop got TV. It's also a black and white TV. That shop is an electronic shop that repair TV for people. So we all gather at his house and watch TV. So those were the 60s. Then after the 60s, I was born in 54. So 1960, I was 6 years old, go to school. So during the 60s, everything was still very primitive, very backward. But my house, actually not bad. We got a well. At first, no water. Then later on, when I was in standard 6, I remember, there was pipe water already. There was electricity already. So all these things were there. But you tell our kid nowadays, they wouldn't understand. I think Tammy also wouldn't understand. You were so much later. She is 30 years later after I come, Miss. 1980 something, yeah, born. So 80 something, a lot of things very modern, really. Our time, still at that house. Then sometimes, no proper at that house, also the yampan chua, or they call it shade, makeshift one. You just maybe better got proper house. When the 80s, you are the 50s, you are even earlier. So what type of house do you stay? Your parent there?
We'll
get in PJ. Oh, no wonder, lucky one, developed place. Oh. Not in the small town.
No.
So you have normal double story house?
Single story.
Oh, single story, but it's a concrete one.
Yeah.
Wow, not bad. Ours is all timber. At that house. Atap chua. With all the, what they call, that time was still very backward. Not really outskirts, about 2 or 3 kilometers from the town. It's still within the Alostar town, but about 3 kilometers away. So what happened was, you were stay in this, they call kampong area. Kampong area. So a lot of things during that time, Kedah State is also very poor. Very poor. So we grew up in such environment. Then the conditioning was very strong. I was lucky because the first 5 over years before I was 6 years old, I was in Batava. Batava, that time I remember, we got my father rented a shop lot because that time he strike that lottery, remember. So he joint venture with my uncle. So they have this shop lot. So daytime they will bring me to the shop lot. Then evening my mother will bring me back to the house. Then our neighbor, a lot of Indian one. That's why I witness a lot of the coconut thing. The Indian one, the Pawali or one, they smash the coconut. And very type of other thing. No, even normal day, a lot of this type of coconut thing on, going on. So I grew up in those environments. But my mind very pure at that time, I remember. Then when I was about to be started one, they decide to go back to Alostar. Where my father bought a shop lot there. Then he decided to go there and start his own business. So I went back. So when I was there, that area was like notorious. Gangster, everything is all very common everywhere. So I grew up in that environment. That's why from 5 over years of pure mind, good mind, suddenly come so like completely conditional into like what type of word to use from such a pure one into such a notorious type of life. That's why I was exposed to all those what they call condition, which were like a slum area with gangster and everything. I grew up in that place. That's so conditioned the mind. That's why I learned all the foul language, everything there. Then all the dialect. The dialect, you know how you start learning or not? You always learn from foul language first. How to scold people and how to say all those things. Then when we learn Tamil also, we always learn the dirty word first and all those things. So those were the environment. Then later on, as I grew up, I reflected, your karma very important. That's why what I want to drive at is your karma. I realized even though I was exposed to that type of condition, the gangster never come and disturb me. My brother and sister all kena. 8 of them all kena. I'm the only one. They didn't. I don't know why they not come near me. They didn't even come near me. Then I grew up. Then I realized, although I was conditioned and my brain was like, you use the word contaminated by all those notorious things that they do. Then when I went to school, I told you standard one, standard two, I was last and second last. Well, I don't know the language. So I was speaking this dialect, and you know the dialect, out of 10 words, maybe 5 or 6 is all vulgar words. So people were so scared of me. But then I grew up. Then when I know the language, then I became very good. Then I changed the way I communicate, the way I actually express myself. Then when I understand, I knew what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. That's why I realized the karmic behind is very different, very powerful. That it showed me a lot of things. I start to understand many things after that. Then this consciousness, I can see how it, from the pure state, first 5 years, where I saw the photo my father took for me in the studio that time, 2 years old, 3 years old. Oh, that time, like I look at the photo, I know, pure mind. Nothing inside there. Very innocent, very cute one. Not the alarm. This one is Yun Chan. Luckily. I thought so fast, 10:30 already. So, after I saw this conditioning, then I saw how my mind become transformed. Then as I grew up, after I was in Form 4, Form 5, I start to probe. Then I realized there is something about my nature from the past that came and support me and show me a lot of things. That's why at that time I already knew my nature is different from normal people. But I do a lot of things opposite of the convention. Then I learn things very fast. The moment I understand, I learn things very fast. I understand things very fast. I technically don't really need people to teach me. I can learn by observing people. Then there is a very special uniqueness about my nature. I somehow always mix with the, I don't call wise. We are in the school who is the good student. I always, somehow I end up mixing with them one and becoming their close friend and friend. I also don't know why. Then I realized through observing them, I learn a lot of things. Then I learn from everyone. That's why I take all the best. Then I innovate my own, develop my own understanding and all those things. So this brain that initially is pure, later on when it was contaminated or received all those conditioning, then there is a lot of things that goes on. That's why it's for me to understand. So that when I grew up, when I developed the meditation, I can recall what happened. Then I can know how my mind become like that. Then how from there, it can come back to normal again. That's why this consciousness, what I am trying to explain to you is, it get conditioned, become more and more sophisticated, more and more sophisticated. And like I say, our brain is the accumulation of experiences. So all of your good and bad experiences, including your belief system, your views, your opinion, your whatever phobia, insecurity, conditioning, all this, they will actually mold you, condition you. So your whole memory or brain is like a bundle of memory. And from there, you develop consciousness. That's why you create your entity, your identity. You are what you are because of your bundle of memory with its views, opinion, and conditioning, belief system, everything. And this is what you think you are. That's why you act from there. That's why you are trying. You get into problem. This is, according to one of my teachers, your brain, your memory here is hell. This is hell. That's why acting from memory is not acting at all. Because you are acting from your views, opinion, and conditioning, your fear, your phobia, your delusion, your wrong thought. So all this will not give you the appropriate right action. Where these are all full of delusion. Before you are enlightened, all this, they are your rubbish, actually. Your scars of memory, everything is inside there. Your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation, everything that you hold on to. Of course, there are certain happy moments. But when you have problem, you got no time to think of happy moments. You worry about your problem. That's why fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, all those phobia, they are very strongly embedded. So that brain, that bundle of memory, this is the one that actually trigger off that consciousness content. So this is the one, thought is respond to memory. So you accumulated all this until your consciousness become very sophisticated, very, very sophisticated. That's why this consciousness, which carry all your fear, worry, anxiety, insecurities, scars of memory, and even your whatever, sorrow and lamentation, depression, everything. This is the one, when you die, you will come out. This is the random of consciousness that will come out. So rebirth consciousness already gone. So this one come out. What I want to explain is about her question. That thing you cannot destroy because it's energy, you understand? But this one is dependent originating. If you don't have attachment, don't have craving, don't have delusion, don't have clinging, then it's dispersed. Then it's gone. Understand? It returned to nature. But because of the delusion, it will condition craving, attachment, anger, emotion. That's why that one can stay on for quite long. That spirit, so-called spirit, is actually your random or consciousness that come up. But if you know how to make use of that to move around without delusion, then it's something beautiful. It will be useful. Yeah. But most people, don't have the understanding. We are deluded, understand? Then the rebirth consciousness is gone. Then this one also deluded. That's why they can still have fear, anger, hatred. Then sometimes, because they just left the body, they die. People cannot see them. People cannot hear them. And they don't have a physical body to communicate with you. To do whatever they want to do. So in that sense, like what we saw in Joyce House, the title of the show is what? Along with the Gods, the Korean show, you know. It repeats, once you die already, he still think he didn't die, you know. Then he went around, then he realized people cannot see him. Then he talked to people cannot hear him. That is the real one. It actually like that. Well, when I was young, my consciousness came out. That one came out. And I was up there. My brother walked in the room. I called him. He cannot hear me. And then I realized something is wrong. He can't see me. He cannot hear me. I can see them. That's why after your loved one passed away, they are around. They are random consciousnesses around. You can talk to them. You can call. Sometimes you can feel them. There's a type of energy. You can feel them. But whatever it is, you talk to them, they can hear you. They will know what you are trying to tell them. But in that state, the consciousness is like enhanced. It's no longer trapped in the body. Then there is this energy that come out. So, regarding Tammy's question, is good to ask. So this random of consciousness, when it come out, it doesn't get destroyed. But depending on the ignorance and the delusion, how long they stay depends on their attachment, their craving, their delusion. That's why they used to tell you, Tao Chat Yi Chat, the Chinese got this belief. After they die, 7 days later, the first seven, they will come back and visit the house. Actually, no need 7 days. Every day they are around. Unless they go astral traveling. Unless they have things to do. Otherwise, they every day also around. Where they only cling around people whom they know. Do you understand? It's like attachment, understand? And if they got really a strong attachment to their loved one or one, they sometimes cannot like free their mind. So they will hang around, they will cling around. Then when they don't want people to disturb them, like last time I told you, one of the Singaporean Dharma friend, he came, he want to buy a house somewhere near one Kayanamita house. So they explained the condition to him. He was very excited. We can buy the neighbor. And the price is so reasonable. We compared to Singapore dollar is so cheap. So when they started go over to negotiate, he was told the husband just died. Now the wife want to sell the house. So everything discussed, planned already, like ready to go and buy. Brought him over, introduced him, asked him to start the negotiation. He just keep quiet. Not a word come up from his mouth. Then we don't know what happened. So we all also strange. Then we somehow make a like excuse. Maybe we help him to ask price and all those things. Let us go back and discuss, then we come back to you. So when we went back to the Kayamita's house, you know what happened? He said, how to open the mouth? The husband was there next to her. He said, but he can see one. Since young, when he was a kid, small boy, he is playing with this non-human one. He can see them, they can see him, and they are good friends. Then the mother always say, what are you doing? He said, my friend, they are all him. Oh, he tired though. Until 16 years old, he can still see. Then for quite a while, he didn't see. By the time he wanted to buy the house, 30 years old. But that one was so prominent, we saw. And that one warned him, no. You buy, I'm going to give you hell. That's why he cannot open his mouth. No. Then he come back, only he told us. No. He said, I will not buy. We cannot see, we may not know. But those who see, they will know. But my nature can sense. I sense many. But no problem, talk to them. They are actually reasonable beings. Don't be deluded. Don't fear. If you don't fear, it's okay. If you fear, they got power over you. So, always remember, they don't have a physical form. They cannot do anything to you. That's why in our Chinese saying, it's very good. No? Actually, the ghosts fear you. No? Yeah. You heard of this or not? The ghost fear you 70%. No? But you fear the ghost 30%. No? Because you don't understand. They actually scared of you because you got a physical form. No? You can do a lot of things. No? But they don't have a physical form. No? They can only attack you when you have fear. Understand? No? They intensify your fear. Because they have to become emotional. You remember that show Along with the God? The vengeance ghost, the brother, died an untimely death. That one, he was so full of anger and vengeance. He suddenly through his anger, his vengeance spirit become so powerful. Until that angel, they got this angel supposed to go and catch all these ghosts. With that angel's, don't know, they say that special rope with the spiritual power on, actually tie him up already, you know. But when he burst into anger, the spiritual rope also burst. So, and he become very powerful, out of control, create tsunami, everything. That's why when they get angry, they can be very, very powerful. But these are all mental energy, hatred energy. Then they can intensify the energy through that type of emotion. So these are the few things that you may need to know. But don't worry, they don't have a physical form. Don't make them angry. Don't go and gullibly or stupidly say things, thinking that they die already. Then you go and nag them and say, yeah, last time this guy did this. I tell you, be careful. Don't do all this. But they are there. They can hear you. Especially those who don't like their in-law and all those things. You better don't be careful. So it's good to follow Noble Eightfold Path. Right speech. Kind, pleasant and good speeches. Don't simply say things. This is all karmic. It has karmic implication. Okay, does that answer your question? So, the spirit gets smashed out or cannot happen? It will disperse by itself. But you cannot destroy it. And it's different. Nibbana is totally different. Nibbana cannot arise through destruction and all those things, no. Nibbana can only arise when there is wisdom, complete wisdom, when the mind realizes itself and sees, and then it can arise, where it is the unconditioned. It can only arise when there is wisdom, at least the first stage of sainthood wisdom, where self-delusion is gone. You can root out self delusion, immediately you will experience cessation. The first stage of enlightenment, sotapanna shape. You can become a sotapan. The first three factors you know. First factor is self delusion. Second one is rites and ritual, attachment to rites and ritual. Then the third one is faith in the triple gem, unshakable after that. So this first three actually tie to the first one. When your first one is gone, the second and third is automatic. You will understand them. Where they are connected to Sakayaditi, self-delusion. Then the fourth and fifth factors is about sensual desire and ill will. Once you can root that one out, means you have very good understanding. Then the next five factors are not that serious. But for you to completely cease future birth, born of ignorance, you have to root them out also, especially avijja, the last one. But as long as you clear the first stage of sainthood, you don't worry. We are the Buddha say, maximum 7 lives for you to come back to the sensual world, take rebirth. After that, you should become arahant and beyond. Maximum 7 lives. Sometimes the same sotapan, this life can realize anagami shape, then non-returner, they don't come back to the sensual realm. Means he no more rebirth back to the sensual realm. He will take birth in the pure abode. Pure abode is the Brahma realm, top realm. There are 4 or 5 realms there, I think, for the anagami. They call it the pure abode. A-B-O-D-E. They will take birth up there and become arahant and cease. So, anagami, they are non-returner. But Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, the Buddha say they have to come back once returner to the sensual realm. Then that life, they definitely become either anagami or arahant. That's why they have only one more life back to the sensual realm. Okay? Any other question or anybody want to maybe share what they know? No more.
Brother,
yes.
Can you define what is wisdom?
Okay, very good question. Maybe we discuss it. So to you, what is wisdom? Okay, we start. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Based on what you have learned and understood. What is wisdom? Of course, realization is one of the aspects of wisdom, but that is a very vague answer. What did you realize? That is more important. Wisdom is related to what? Of course, the word wise is slightly better than realization. Realization is very general. Wise, at least the word wise is there. Wise is correct. But it's not an idea. It's an understanding. So wisdom is linked to right understanding. Where else to write? Okay, maybe I write here. So Yun Chan asks, what is wisdom? So wisdom is related to right understanding. Right understanding. Means wisdom is not knowledge. Understand? You know why it's not knowledge or not? GD or DG? GD. DG. Oh, DG is correct. Oh, okay. So this wisdom is not knowledge. You know why or not? Well, knowledge is rigid. Whereas wisdom is an understanding, the understanding is not rigid. Knowledge is usually the statement of a fact. Understand? You have a lot of technical knowledge, medical knowledge. 1 plus 1, 2. 2 plus 2, 4. That is knowledge, rigid. But when it comes to addition, it's not a knowledge. You understand? When you add how many number, it's an understanding. That's why 4 plus 3, also 7. 5 plus 2, also 7. 6 plus 1, also 7. You understand? Means it's not rigid. It's just like the schoolboy I used to relate to you as a joke. One day the father asked the boy, standard 2. He came back from school. He said, "Boy, how's your school?" He said, "My school is okay, except my teacher is very stupid." He said. The father asked why. He said, one day he teach 4 plus 3, 7. The next day he teach 5 plus 2, 7. I don't know which is the correct one also. Because he doesn't understand the logic behind the understanding. Well, understanding is not a knowledge. It's an understanding. When I understand, the principle behind addition is how you add. So the number is not always the same. That's why people argue. So if you have 2 students from different class, then one guy say, "My teacher teach 4 plus 3 is 7. The other guy say, "You're wrong. My teacher teach 5 plus 2 is 7. So who is right, who is wrong? Actually, both also right. Because that is understanding. So when it comes to wisdom, you must have right understanding. But understand what? That's why she used the word wise. There must be wisdom, means you must understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. So when you have this wisdom, means right understanding, then you will understand how the world functions, how you function as a human being, how life comes to be, how the nature's law actually work. When there is wisdom, you can explain the way things are. You understand? Like the law of karma. When you understand, you have wisdom. And the law of karma is not straightforward. Understand? You may say, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. Generally, this is correct. Understand? Because condition behind karma is very complicated, very complex. Sometimes, same condition, different environment, different people, things will be different. It will not be like very rigid. Like you cannot just come and use what I use because you heard how I help people before. Okay? People with this problem when they come, brother always tell them, do this. Understand? Then every time you see people with similar problem, you go and tell them the same thing that I tell you. No. Because same problem may come, but different people, different background, my nature will know, and I will advise them differently. Understand? It's not always the same. Sometimes they can be the same case, depressed. But their background different, their environment different, their conditioning different. Their karmic conditioning all different. And you cannot understand, you cannot advise. You cannot understand. So understanding is very complex. It demands the understanding of the complete thing. Because it's not just law of karma. It involves the summation of all the beings. All the condition behind their past and all those things. That's why it's a very, very complex web of understanding that you have. For you to develop wisdom, you have to understand many things. Many, many things. Before this wisdom can come to be. So, according to the Buddha, wisdom can be developed in 3 ways. First, he said, you listen to his teaching. Listening to the Dhamma. He called it Sutamayapanya. Wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, the teaching of the Buddha. Last time you can only hear. Now you can read it up. You can listen to the recording. Then you can even listen to the video recording, not only audio. Then you can read from research book, textbook, and other things, internet, Google. So nowadays, this first turning wisdom is much more easier. So listening to the Dhamma will allow you to straighten your view. It's just like the law of karma, where you know why this law is so important, because the Buddha asked us in the teaching to reflect and contemplate the five daily contemplation. The first four is related to the first Noble Truth Reality. But the last one, the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you are to listen to all this and develop the deep understanding, then you ask yourself a question. If I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned and supported by my karma, and I am what I am because of my karma, means my entire life depends on karma. So what must I do? I must take care of karma. Then you realize, yeah, I must take care of my karma. How to take care? I have to avoid all the evil things. Then I realize this is the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil. Then I have to do good. Then how to avoid all evil? The Buddha said, keep your precept. People with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the one that violates this precept. Because this precept is to guide you, to prevent you from making mistakes, from committing major evils. That's why the five precepts are the principal evil you cannot commit. That's why you have to keep them. So to avoid all evil, you keep your precept. That's why we are advised to renew our precept. Every opening pre-puja, we chant, we renew our precept. Then after that, we have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. When we cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, everything is about right view, wisdom leading to right thought, right speech, and right action. Without right understanding or wisdom, you cannot start the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. That's why right thought, right speech, and right action, and right livelihood, they will lead to wholesomeness. This is what doing good is all about. Cultivating virtue, wholesomeness is all about. This is how you take care of karma, develop the strong karmic nature. All this virtue, right thought, right speech, right understanding, are your good karmic inheritance. And this is the one that can make you different, transform you, and give you the good life, the good condition whenever you have to come back to take birth to the existential world, to live life. Without this good karma, the negative karma, they will hit. That's why you don't avoid all evil, do good. Then meditate to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom so that you are not afflicted by the first Noble Truth Reality. Yeah. So wisdom, the first turning wisdom is very important, listening. Listen, then put it into practice. Develop the right view, then change your life. That's why we have to straighten our view. We have to believe in the law of karma. Then second turning is even more important. The Buddha said, second turning is after you have listened to his teaching, or you have read about it, listened to the audio or video or whatever, then you still don't have the deep penetrative or stable wisdom, then what must you do? You must reflect on it, contemplate on it, then inquire, why did the Buddha say this? Like the first Noble Truth final summary. In short, it is this self-delusion that conditions the living being's attachment, craving, clinging, and grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind, leading to the grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, that I call dukkha. Why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand that? So to understand that, I must put it to test, isn't it? I must investigate into it, isn't it? So I go through the teaching. Why did he summarize all of suffering as grasping aggregate of the five aggregate of form and mind? When I have self-delusion, I grasp, I suffer. So you put it to test. To put it to test, what must you develop first? What constitute the five aggregates of form and mind? Understand? That's why you have to seek people who can have the understanding to teach you the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then only you can put them to test. First aspect is as a human being we have gone through. You have a physical body, you have a consciousness trapped inside, and this consciousness the Buddha subdivide into four aggregates of mind. To understand this is very easy. The Buddha said, inquire, ask, what can your mind do? So our mind can feel, can perceive things, can give rise to thought process, thinking, sankhara, mental states, mental intention, mental volition, and mental formation. Even our planning, scheming, whatever we do, all the things that the mind can do is the third aggregate of sankhara. Then one more last thing, our mind can become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel and think. So these four aggregate, together with the physical body, is the five aggregate. Then we put to test. If I attach to this body, deludedly think that it is me, do I suffer? You can check. If I believe this is me, I will have problem, right? Why? Because you fear this physical body will get old, get sick and die. That's why when this one goes the way of nature, get sick, get old and die, you will have fear, worry, anxiety. You will panic. You will suffer because you believe it's you. Then you realize the Buddha is correct. Then you go to the feeling. If I attach to feeling, do I suffer? Yes, you suffer. Yeah, you want good feeling. You don't want painful feeling, negative feeling that breeds suffering, unhappiness. And why you become unhappy? Why do you reject this type of feeling? It's because of your perception, your wrong view. You believe this is me. This one must not get sick, must not get old, must not die. That's why you have problem. So the feeling that arises is a conditioning from your wrong view. If you have right view, wisdom, to see things as they are and to understand that these are reality of life and existence, then you only need to understand it, accept the reality and move. Then there is no more issue, no more problem. Even health problem, financial problem is not going to affect you. Even relationship problem. Understand it. Do not project your thought. Do not cling. Do not grasp. See that these are common reality. Living being, they are just the way they are. The world is the world. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. They are just the way they are. So when we have this right view, we straighten our view, then we know how to act. This is wisdom. Then we no longer suffer. So attachment to feeling and the people you perceive as negative, or to all your views, opinion and conditioning, all this will bring about suffering. Then when you attach to consciousness, means what? The hearing consciousness, when people scold you, backbite you, you attach, thinking that you exist, you suffer. Understand? Then when you attach to the conscious formation, means whatever you see through your seeing consciousness, your loved one, your school, your prized possession, your wealth, your car, your whatever things that you hold on to dearly, and you believe they are real. So when you attach, means what? Because they go the way of nature. They will disperse. They will leave you. Separation is a reality. So if you do not see all this, you will never wake up. You will not have the understanding to deal with life. So attachment born of self-delusion is very powerful. That's why the Buddha says, even the aggregates of mind, your feeling, your perception, your views, your opinion, your whatever mental states, and the consciousness that you arrive, they are all not real. They are not you. They are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomenal, empty, impermanent. It will dissolve. It come and it go. It come and it go. Feeling also come and go. Perception also come and go. Mental state, consciousness, they come, they go. And when they go, did you die? You didn't die. So how can they be you? So why do you deludedly grasp onto them thinking that they are you? Why can't you see them? If it is self, the Buddha said, it will not tend towards suffering. If it is self, it will not change. It will not become impermanent. It will not tend towards suffering. Whatever that tends towards suffering and is not permanent, how can you say this is me, this is I? It is only self-delusion. So all this will become very clear. Can you follow? Yeah? So this is the second turning wisdom. So when you stabilize them through reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, then you start to develop a more stable understanding. Then everything that you have heard, read, or learned, you stabilize them. Means after deep contemplation, reflection, and inquiry, you stabilize them, then you start to assimilate them into your nature to develop that clear understanding. And that wisdom is very, very much more stable. That is called Cittamaya Panya, second turning wisdom. Then the third turning is, of course, through meditation, Bhavanamaya Panya. Bhavanamaya Panya means wisdom born of the direct seeing, insight into phenomena, the direct seeing that awakens the mind to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self, or empty nature of existence. So this third turning wisdom is very powerful, very penetrative. It can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now, immediately. That's why the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya, is wisdom born of Bhavana, which is the meditative discipline. So this one is the most powerful. And when you are ready, means the first turning, second turning, they will bring about the initial wisdom to set the base for you to receive truth. Then you can become enlightened after that. Whether first turning, second turning, or third turning, because the base has been prepared. So this initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, born of the first and second turning, is very important. Okay? So that completes the three types of wisdom. So wisdom is right understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Means you must have right view, right understanding of the way things are, how the world functions based on nature's law. The nature's law, the Buddha described five pancha niyamas, the five universal order of nature. First two is scientific law. First two are scientific law. First is uttu niyama, physical law of nature. Then followed by the second one, bija niyama, biological order of nature. Then the next three is spiritual law, which the Buddha taught us. And the Buddha, because he has the understanding of the next three types of spiritual law that governs life and existence, that's why he can become the Sammasambuddha, the wisest of them all. So, first spiritual law is law of karma, karma niyama. Second spiritual law is citta niyama, law of mind. third one is law of truth, Dhamma, Dhamma Niyama, the Four Noble Truth, where the essential Dhamma spin off from there. So these are the five that governs the whole of the existential world, the law of nature. The first two, because the scientist has already penetrated quite deep, that's why they understand them and they are able to make use of them to grow our civilization. That's why our civilization progressed so fast, is because of the breakthrough by the scientists on the first two nature's law. They will continue to have breakthrough because it's still a lot more to go. But likewise, the Buddha has penetrated the three spiritual law inside out. The only thing that the scientists cannot penetrate is the consciousness. That is the missing law. That's why they cannot develop the oneness unified theory that Einstein was trying to develop to explain the whole of the universe, how we work, how the universe functions. He called it the unified theory. He has studied gravity, electricity, electromagnetic theory, and many of the small forces and all those things. But the missing link is consciousness, mind, consciousness. They have actually penetrated a little bit into the mundane mind, the thought process. But they haven't really gone in because they don't have the awareness to be aware. So they have psychology, they have what they call there is this study of the human being that have problem, what they call that, psychiatry. The two fields are different, no? Psychologists and psychiatrists, they are two different, but they are related actually. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, I heard the alarm just now. So we better end. What's the time now? Yeah, I exceeded by 5 minutes. Not too bad. Okay. So let us share merit, transfer merit, then you make your aspiration. Akasata cha bhumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Ita Wata Chaam Ehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Sitiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Devo asatu kalena sasasampati heto cha. Vito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena. Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo otu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end, sadhu.